Welcome to You Need a Coach, Bitch. I'm your host, Chris Hale. I'm a certified life coach and coach instructor. I'm also a master dance educator and self-proclaimed Xennial pop diva. Every week, I bring you a conversation to help you harness your inner authority by popping the patriarchy and crafting the life of your dreams. Are you ready to unleash your inner creator? Let's go. Hey, bestie, what's up? Happy Thursday. We are in February. Like, it's happening. It is on. Actually, I think last week, when the episode was released, was the first day of February. We're now on day 7, so it's been like a full week. I hope your February is going well so far. I hope that if you, like me, have been in this, like, I'm just ramping up mindset, only to realize that, like, maybe you're at the top of your ramp. Let that be okay, because I think that's where I am. I think I was like, yeah, I'm just going to, like, ease into the year. I'm ramping up. And maybe this is it. I don't know that it's going any higher. Can you take me higher? I actually played that in SoulCycle the other day. It went over really amazingly. I'm doing these, like, Y2K Fridays. God, I just love the early 2000s. Anyway, we're going to get right into things today. I'm going to try to refrain from saying, like, this might be a short one, because I say that and then I still end up talking for 25 minutes. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about shame-based marketing. And this came up for me the other day as I was, like, looking at content online from other creators. And I did a TikTok about it. And now I'm bringing it here because I feel like I have more to say about it. I think it also ties in really beautifully with the resolutions episode. So if you haven't listened to that, it's episode 87. I'll link it in the show notes just so that, like, if you don't have to go searching for it. But yeah, I think, you know, this is like a theme, or maybe like a series, and I might go back through all of the podcasts that kind of, like, address this in its different various stages and phases and whatnot, and kind of, like, do a little guide for, like, listen to all of these together. They make a lot of sense. But anyway, what is shame-based marketing? I see a lot of it in the coaching and self-development world, but, like, it's all over the place. It's when someone is selling you a solution by invoking the judgment you have for your own problem. So one of the best examples I can give is coaches that help people to stop over-consuming really anything. There is so much talk about reducing screen time, for instance, right? Like, and, like, the biggest, like, words, like, the biggest iteration we see of that is when people call it doom scrolling. And even that name, right? The name is giving side eye. Like, the name is giving judgment. And I'm not saying that there is nothing to the benefits of reducing screen time. Like, that's been proven. We're not debating that. What I'm pointing out is that there are folks out there who are getting you to buy from them by using all your own negative self-talk against you. They focus on the behavior and they lean heavily on the conditioned shame that we all have around these specific behaviors. And it's even worse when it comes to, like, overeating or overdrinking or watching porn, hitting up the apps. They really let loose on, like, those topics because they're, like, going all in on the moralistic nature of things. They're using phrases like, don't indulge in false pleasure in place of real fulfillment, or stop replacing true intimacy and connection with meaningless sex. This is steeped in, like, religious purity culture and the whole, like, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And, like, listen, I've been guilty of it in the past too, because, like, that's how I was taught. Like, I was taught to really, like, harp on people's pain points in that kind of a way. And it makes so much sense because, like, I didn't question it because, like, we're all just being fed that all the time. So there is no evil you that is trying to corrupt the good you, because there is no good you. There's not, like, one part of you that's good, one part of you that's bad. There's no angel or devil on your shoulder. I talked about this in episode 26, where it was about how we're always, like, trying to be our best self, but, like, there is no better version of you. Like, you're great the way you are. And yes, like, we can do different things, but it doesn't make you a better person. Like, you're not a more good person, right? When it comes to morality. And I'm also realizing now that this was all like the sort of ableist shit that I've been working on over the past year to kind of get rid of, because I need to let go of this like overachieving version of myself that I just basically thought that I had to be. And I'm seeing like what a strain that has been on me. And so this all ties in with that. As a person, though, that clearly wants to keep evolving and leveling up, like, what am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Clearly, you're here because you have desires to, like, you know, improve, whatever that means. And we're not going to, like, escape this shame-based approach altogether. But we can do some work to seek out creators and coaches that are not pressing on your pain points to shame you into engaging with their work. And I think a great example of this is Emily Childers from episode 12. Like, we had that conversation that we both shared on our podcasts. And I've been in one of her containers, and it felt really supportive and judgment-free. She's also a fellow ADHDer, and she's a feminist coach, and she's really dedicated to opting out of all that like hierarchical fuckery. She has this resource called Consensual Sales Conversations. It's amazing. She really gets it. And I really recommend checking her out and like looking at her socials if you haven't already. But what I think she does a great job at and also helps her clients with is speaking to the results people want without poking at the pain. It gives people something to move toward instead of like something to continue to run from, because that's usually what we're doing when it's the shame-based thing. We're trying to run from something instead of like run toward something. And I've said this before, that I'm not a weight loss coach, but I did do a lot of food plan and overeating coaching during my time in Self-Coaching Scholars, because that was like a main feature of Brooke's coaching. And clients would come to sessions with me with so much guilt about like not being able to like control themselves, or having like been on a plan for a while and then like quote unquote falling off. And there was just so much negativity in like the accounting of their story. And so the thing that I always did first was neutralize and normalize things. We talk about like how restricting is what was causing the over desire and not necessarily giving into the temptation, which is what was being taught. But the fact that we were trying to restrict ourselves in the first place is what creates that like over wanting of it. And that the only way to really deprogram that is to allow yourself to want things and have them and not put limitations on them, so that you can like rewire your brain to not be in scarcity around it, because that creates urgency to want it. So we have to like not suppress that desire, but we have to acknowledge it. We have to feel it. We have to learn how to like want things and also not ever need to have them, right? So that's one of the things that's like really important, is like letting desire be the thing that motivates you, but like not necessarily needing to get it. And I want to say like this really, like really helps for us like neurodivergent babes. Like oftentimes for us, the actualization of things can be kind of horrific, but the fantasizing about it can feel really good. And so like, I think about traveling for me, like I hate traveling. I fucking hate it. But I like to imagine going places or being places. And I like have learned this about myself over the years, and I'm finally starting to like understand what it is. So like we would make plans to go away, and I would be like all excited leading up to it. And then the reality of it was that it was just never that great for me. Flying is awful. I have like fear on of flying, which I take medication for, but still. The airports are the worst. I don't like being in new places. I find it hard to stay on routine because like my routines also include specific things that I don't have access to when I'm away, like my favorite coffee mug, for instance, or like being able to have like just the right kind of lighting. You know, when you just can't get the lighting right, like it just doesn't, it's not it. It's not the vibe. So those are factors. Like I'm always worried about food, and is there going to be food I can eat? How much extra accommodation am I going to need to ask for? Will I feel comfortable asking for it? Or am I just going to like suffer in dysregulation the entire time? Like it's so much once I'm finally there that it's not worth going, but imagining going feels really good. And I think that that's true for a lot of us who have specific needs that aren't easily met when we're not in our home safe environment. Okay, so that was a bit of a tangent, but I think you get it. The main issue I have with this type of marketing is that it's like so focused on behavior. And we all know, or at least I hope you're starting to connect with the idea, that the behavior is not the problem. Scrolling is not a problem by itself. There's nothing wrong with porn. Actually, I would say that like in this like super sexually repressed country we live in, it can be a healthy outlet for people to explore things that they like have otherwise felt shame for being into, but not if you're thinking that it's like you're dirty for doing it. So like that's when it becomes a problem, right? When you're seeking that out, but you're seeking it out to like get this need met that you feel bad about. Like that's, we don't want that. So if it's not about the behavior, what is it about, right? It's always about the why behind the behavior. And we need to also address that like not all of us are going to be getting our needs met the same way. So what is considered like healthy is mostly based on neurotypical needs. And therefore, oftentimes like what we neurodivergent people need is considered maladaptive. So I actually get a lot of connection from being on social media because I literally don't want to be in the world. Like it is so much safer for me to connect with people online, and I can, if I know what I'm going in for, right? And there, this is again, when we look at the why behind it versus the actual behavior. And so when I'm looking to connect with people and I go online, then I find myself focusing on the content that like makes me feel good. And I find myself engaging with accounts that I actually want to like participate in and add to the conversation. I'll comment, I'll like, right? It's a more active experience that I'm engaged in, right? When I'm just bored and I don't want to feel my feelings, I don't want to sit with boredom, and I'm just looking for something to like occupy my mind, maybe that's not the best why. And so it isn't going to be fulfilling. It isn't going to serve the right purpose. On the other hand, if I've been really overwhelmed and I'm in like sensory overload in other ways, sometimes just that scrolling action can be a little bit soothing, and it might be giving me a dopamine hit that I was looking for. And so I don't know, is that good or bad in that situation? I don't think that we should like focus on good or bad. It's like, am I getting my need fulfilled? If I'm looking for dopamine and that's giving me a little bit of dopamine and I'm going to be able to move on with my day after it, and it's not going to like suck me into like a full just like hyper focus on looking at things that upset me, which can happen. Like when I start, this is what I know. When I'm reading the comments of posts and I'm getting into arguments in my head with the posters, like with the commenters, like that's when I know that we are not here for any kind of like fulfilling purpose. Like that's not it. So that's like, I know I can check myself there, right? So can we see the difference in like the motivations behind the behavior? And what you would see, like if you were looking at me, would be the same thing. You would see me on my phone scrolling through, right? Like you would see the same thing. And this is why focusing on behavior is not it, because you don't know my motivation behind it. This is also why, like, we're going to just tie this in for a second with, like, you know, people not getting diagnosed for, like, their ADHD and their autism and all those things. It's, like, it's so much focused on behavior and not the internal experience of the person. So this applies across the board with that, too, right? If you see me scrolling, you don't know what my internal experience is, and you could be looking at me, or you could just ask the question, like, how much are you on Instagram every day? And I could give you an answer, and you could think that that's not good. You'd have to dig a little bit deeper to say, like, well, what are you doing? And what's the experience like? And when are you going for it, right? And so this is when we would start to understand what needs I'm fulfilling through that behavior. And then it can be addressed whether or not I want to work on adjusting that behavior, or if I want to like only do it for specific needs and look to get other needs, like get, look to get needs met in other ways when I'm going there for reasons that I don't love. And this is not what's going on when someone is invoking, right, like all of your own self-judgment and negativity about your behavior that like they're telling you is wrong. Like they don't know you. You don't know me, right? They don't know what's going on in your life. They don't know what you need, right? Same thing with isolation. You know, talking, I can talk to my therapist about this and it's like when I'm isolating, right? Like he might see that as a bad thing, but it's like we have to really dig into it and I can explain to him like, you know, I am starting to understand the difference in between like why I'm isolating. I might need some time where I'm processing and working through dysregulation, right? If I'm overstimulated from a sensorial perspective, like I actually need to go and be in a room by myself and like have very little input. And we've talked about this, right? That is not the same thing, right? As like keeping myself away from people because I think that I'm a burden to them. I don't want to burden them with like my emotions or whatever I'm going through. So again, can you see the difference between like behavior versus motivation? And so this is what I want you to look for when you're thinking about entering into someone's container, right? Like, what do they lead with? I've seen some other things where like people will lead with all of that judgment, like, and then they'll be like, not that there's anything wrong with those things. And it's like, oh no, like we need to like back it up, right? Don't lead with the judgment and then say like, it's okay, but it's not okay, right? Because it's kind of one of those. It's like, sorry, not sorry. It's okay, but really it's not. And that to me is a bit of a red flag. We want to look for spaces, containers, content that we want to engage with that has a lot of compassion, that has a lot of empathy, that, like I was saying before with Melanie's marketing, really speaks to the result without pathologizing the behavior, without making you wrong for wanting the thing you want. Like she works a lot with, she works with like people building businesses and making money, right? And so one of the most important things with like helping people make money is not pathologizing their desire for money. We live in a capitalist society. We're not escaping this. We're not like, we've talked about this. We're not going to dismantle all these structures on our own. So how do we learn to live with inside of them and make money so that we can survive? And that doesn't mean that you have to want to make like $1 billion or $100 million or even $50 million, right? But the reality is that we all need money. And so if we can like get rid of the negativity around desiring money, allow ourselves to have that, work through the shame, understand our reasons, not be following other people's formulas, not wanting other people's lives, then we're going to be able to align with the kind of people that are going to help us get there. And that's the most important thing, is aligning with the kind of person that is going to get you there, that resonates with, I was going to say like the best version of you, but that just goes against everything I just said. but that just resonates with the part of you that feels good and confident and aligned and supported. Like when you're at your most supportive version of yourself for yourself, go looking for someone to help facilitate the change that you want to make, because that's going to align you with someone who's not going to shame you. When you are in a bad place, when you're shaming yourself, when you're judging yourself, when we're in these like change-based goals and you go looking for a solution, then you're going to resonate with someone who's pointing out all the things that you think are wrong with you. And then this is the biggest issue with that, is that the results are not going to be sustainable. Because again, you were basing them on trying to get away from a part of you, get away from a version of yourself that you do not like. And so you're not going to be able to sustain that. If you're working in a container with someone who started out by showing you all the things you hate about yourself and pressing on that, that's baked into the experience. There's no way to get away from it. All right, friends, that's my rant about shame-based marketing and how you can identify when you're being sold to. Because here's the thing. You want solutions. We all want solutions. We're not going to like fault ourselves for wanting solutions. And this is one of the things that like Melanie pushes the most, is that like people want to buy what you have, right? So we want to buy what people have out there. We want to engage with their content, but we want to make sure that it's not just more of the same old status quo of shame myself into being a better person. Have a great week. If you love the podcast, please like and review wherever you listen to your podcast, but especially on Apple. Give me those 5 stars. And if you're looking for a container that is very judgment-free and we do not shame, or I do not shame, book a consult. Let's talk about where you want to be in the next few months. Bye, friends. If you are loving the podcast, it's time to put a ring on it. It would mean the world to me if you would do one or all of these things. First off, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, or all the places podcasts are available if you want to be extra. While you're there, giving a 5-star rating and leaving a review would be epic. And lastly, spreading the love by sharing your favorite episode would be beyond. Thanks, love. We'll talk soon.